Please stand as you're able for the reading of the gospel. Our lesson today comes from Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." You may be seated.
Well, good morning. Good morning. You ready to go back to school? Wow, man, I didn't expect that one, you know. Boy, wow, what a... All right, anybody ready to go back to school? No, we're not ready to go. I'm going to take you back to school. Some of you I'm going to take back to school this morning, all right? You know, I used to... All right, you with me? You with me? Stay with me, all right. I used to volunteer when the kids were younger. You'd go to school and we'd volunteer. And what was your favorite subject in school? Recess, yeah, exactly. Everybody says that. So in recess, we'd go out for recess, and I would go out there, and I was amazed by all the stuff that young elementary school-age children have today. They've got parachutes, they've got cones, they got footballs, they got basketballs, they got frisbees, they got hula hoops, they've got four square, hopscotch, jungle gyms, soccer fields. What else? A whole bunch of other stuff, right? But back in the day... we just had like blacktop, you know, no lines. And that blacktop was slanted even. I mean, it wasn't even a flat blacktop. And there was only one piece of sports equipment that we got at recess. Do you remember what that one piece of sports equipment was? The red rubber ball. You remember the red rubber ball? Oh, yeah, there we go. Good cue. So... I like it. I'm glad I'm still young enough to catch. Because that almost hit me in the head, man. But still got the cat-like reflexes. All right. So thanks for the object lesson here this morning. So you had a red rubber ball, right? And a red rubber ball, there were two games that we played at recess. Kickball or dodgeball, right? You remember that? Okay, so... I told you I was taking you back to school this morning, right? So you go out of playground. Now, if it was a kickball day, we'd line up, you know, you line up on the edge of the, I don't know if they do that still today. Do they still do that? You line up and you pick teams. Do they do that still? Okay. So they line up, pick teams, and there was this one guy, and if it was a kickball day, his name was Chris. Chris was the biggest guy in our class, and Chris would kick the ball over everybody's head, and because, remember I said it was slanted? Blacktop, it would just keep going and going and going. Everybody run around the base, score. So if it was a kickball day, you pick Chris to be on your team. Now, if it was a dodgeball day, who do you think got picked last? Chris. Because there was another guy named Billy, and he was short and quick and get out of the way of the ball and had an agile cat-like reflexes like Pastor Matt. And he could get out of the way of the ball. Can you be here at 11 o'clock too? All right. But to get out of the way of the ball and do that. So it depended on what game you were playing as to who you picked to be on your team, right? It mattered what you were up to, what the purpose of that day was. And here we have Jesus picking a tax collector to be his disciple on his team. And the Pharisees are saying, "Why are you picking a tax collector to be on your team?" I guess it matters what game you're playing, doesn't it? What you're trying to accomplish, what your purpose on the planet is. And so I think that's a valid question that the Pharisees are asking, but I think we have to understand a little bit about the Pharisees, about the religious community that day that helps us understand why the Pharisees were having a problem with this. Now, first of all, tax collectors were not well-liked people in the community. Remember, tax collectors were considered sellouts to the Roman government. because Matthew was probably sitting along a road called the Via Maris just outside Capernaum, and he was probably, so if you were walking down that road and you had just been fishing on the Sea of Galilee and you had come down the road and you had caught some fish, Matt could walk up to you and say, "Hey, you know what? I think I'm going to tax you on that." And there was a certain amount that the tax collector needed to get to give to the Roman government, but anything more that that tax collector could get out of you beyond that tax, guess where that money went? In the pocket. So this, if you can imagine a world where every time you walk down the road with something to go profit to run your business, you were getting taxed and you knew you were also getting extorted at the same time. In fact, tax collectors were barred from the synagogue by the religious community because they were considered traitors. So the Pharisees are having a hard time understanding why Jesus, this rabbi, this teacher, would choose this tax collector to be on his team. They didn't get it. But I think it has something to do with the fact that Matthew could put Jesus in touch with other people. Because if you remember from the text, who came to dinner with Matthew? Other tax collectors and other sinners. You see, Jesus came to the planet not for the righteous, but for the sinners, to make a difference in their lives, to help transform them into the people of God. Now, a few things that we need to understand about the Pharisees in that day, and that is, one of the things about the Pharisees is they loved to diagnose problems. You know, do you know what I'm talking about? They loved to diagnose and say, "Well, I can tell you exactly what's wrong with your life, but I'm not going to do anything about it." I don't know, have you ever felt that way? You know, have you ever felt like, you know, I don't need somebody to tell me what's wrong with my life. I pretty much know what's wrong with my life. It's kind of like going to a doctor. And, you know, I go to the doctor and I got a copay and I got to get there. And so I always debate whether or not to call the doctor because I'm going to have to pay to go to the doctor. And so when I usually decide to go, I'm on my way driving. My prayer goes something like this: "Lord, please, may I have a bacterial infection." Now, that's kind of sick, isn't it? That I would pray for a bacterial infection. But why do I want a bacterial infection? Because I'm going to get medicine. I'm going to get treatment. If I have a viral infection, I'm going to pay money for the doctor to tell me that they can't do anything for me. That is the most frustrating thing. Can you imagine a world where it was real good at somebody telling you what's wrong with your life but doesn't have a solution to help you change your life, to treat your life, to be the great physician? Jesus is saying, "I want to treat your life. I don't want to just tell you what's wrong with it." You know, I was in Chicago several years back, and I went to a midweek prayer service at Salem Baptist Church in downtown Chicago. And I was in that church. I went Wednesday night, and it was Wednesday night prayer service, and I'm thinking that verse, you know, where two or three are gathered. That's what my expectation was, that there were going to be two or three gathered. And I walked in there, and there was about 200 or 300 people gathered on a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock in the middle of the summer. And I sat back. I had to actually sit along the radiator, along the back wall of the church, and just sat back and watch what was going on. There was an energy in that room that I hadn't encountered before. And all these people had shown up in the middle of the week, and I said, "Why are these people here? Why aren't they out doing something else?" And I sat back and I watched. And there came a time in the service where the pastor invited prayers of the people and invited people who had prayers. And one of the questions the pastor asked is, "Who here has a need for a job? Who's lost their job and needs a job?" And several people raised their hands, and he invited them to come forward. And there was about a dozen people that came forward, and he went up to the first person with the microphone. He says, "What is your job skill?" And they said, "Well, I can work on computers and do data entry, and I know Microsoft Office and Windows, and I can answer phones and do office assistant type work. That's the job I had before, and I'm looking for that kind of job." And so the pastor looked at the crowd and said, "Is there anyone here who works for a company that needs an office assistant?" And there's a woman in the back corner, raised her hand, and he said, I want you to go back there and talk to this person over here, and hopefully they can get you an interview at their company. And he went down the line, and every single story was the same, and he found some way to connect them to somebody else that could meet that need. And then he got to the last person in the line. It was a single mom with about 3 or 4 kids at home, couldn't make her mortgage payment. She had snuck up there on the job prayer thing. But she knew she had a need, and she wasn't going to hold back. And so the pastor said, you know, we've got a special fund set aside in our church to help for situations like this. If you will go see this person, they will help you pay your mortgage payment this month. It was at that moment that I realized why that church was full on a Wednesday night in the middle of the summer. Because people's needs were being met in the name of Jesus Christ. And people were coming to faith in that church because they knew this was a place that just didn't just say what the sin was, but also treated the needs of the people. It makes a difference when we treat the needs of people, when we make a difference in their lives. The other thing about the Pharisees that they were really good at was they were real good at avoiding the sick or avoiding the sinful or saying, hey, we'll be unclean if we hang out with this person or spend time with this person, which is why they had a problem with Jesus, because Jesus was with these unclean people and they couldn't understand how he would taint himself. But Jesus answered to them, as I've come not for the righteous, but for the sinners. I've come for the sick, not for the well. He's saying, I've got to be in proximity to the people who need what I have to offer, my treatment. And that's the power of proximity. You can't treat a patient from a distance, can you? Doctors have to actually go and see the patient, or the patient has to go and see the doctor. You can't treat it from a distance, although they're starting to do that over the phone now. But really, you can't treat that over a distance. You have to be where the person is and meet that need. I was got a call one day from a woman and her son, a single mom. Her son had just been arrested for dealing drugs out of his apartment. And he had been dealing drugs, and he had been put in a detention center. And so the mom came to me and said, "Well, Pastor, will you pray for my son?" And I said, "Nah, we're not going to do that. I'm kidding. I didn't say that. Just had to let you know I was joking because you weren't laughing yet." But I said, "Of course. Yeah, we'll pray." And I hung up the phone. And then I thought, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says if somebody's in prison, what are we supposed to do? Go visit them. So I got over there, went through all the security background things, got set up for a visit. And I met with him for about 45 minutes, and we talked and got to know each other a little better, and he asked for a Bible. He didn't have anything to do or read in there, so he figured, well, I'm a pastor. Might as well ask the pastor for a Bible. And so we arranged to get him a Bible through the chaplain program, and I visited him a couple other times after that. And he got out, and he got back on his feet, and he got a job. And one day, his sister called me. It's interesting because, you know, after he got out, guess who started coming to church? He did. And guess who started coming to church after him? His sister. And then his sister called one day and said, "Pastor Matt, my brother's in the hospital emergency room. He was in an accident this morning on his way to work. Can you pray?" And I said, "Sure, we're going to pray for your brother." Hung up the phone. And there's that verse again. If somebody's in the hospital, what are we supposed to do? Go visit them. So I went down to the emergency room, and I visited him, and he just fortunately just needed some stitches, was banged up, bruised up. He was on a moped going to work and had an accident, and fortunately was wearing a helmet and turned out to be okay. So we got him home, made sure he was taken care of, got his medicine. And then it wasn't a surprise that one day this young man came up to me after church, and he said, "I want to know the God that you know. Tell me about how I can know the God that you know, because I want to know that God." And so I share with him my faith and who God was, and he prayed and asked Christ to come into his life that day. The last time I saw that young man, he came up to me and he said, I just want you to know, I want to thank you for being a part of my life. And he went on to say this. He says, you know that day you came and visited me in the hospital? And that was 45 minutes out of my day. He came and visited me in the hospital. He said, you know, my own dad lived 7 miles from that detention center and never came and visited me once. He said, you know that day you showed up in the emergency room? My dad was about 2 miles from that emergency room and never checked on me once. He said, but you did. And that's why I wanted to know the God that you know. Thank you for introducing me to God. That's the power of proximity. You see, we can't help people if we're not in relationship with them. We can't make a difference. We can't be used by God. God can't work through our lives if we're not willing to put ourselves into proximity with those who need God and God wants to work in their lives. That's what Jesus was doing. Jesus was putting himself into proximity to those who needed the great physician. Now, when Jesus asked Matthew, follow me, Jesus was saying to Matthew, when he said that, it literally meant, Matthew, I want you to attach yourself to me. Attach yourself to me in such a way that where I go, you go, and what I do, you do. And Matthew did that. To follow Christ literally means to go where Christ would go and do what Christ would do. I don't know how many doctors, I'm not a doctor and I'm not a physician, but I know that at some point in the education of a doctor, they have to go with another doctor and make rounds. And I think if Jesus is the great physician, then there comes a time in our following Christ that we need to make rounds with the great physician. We need to go where Jesus would go and do what Jesus would do to meet the needs and to cure the illness and heal the sin that is in people's lives. That's what it means to be a follower, to reach out to the world around us. And you know, there are needs everywhere, every day in our lives. And they're not necessarily big ones, like I mentioned. They could be small ones. They could be things that we just know about, a friend at work, someone that we run across. Are we really looking at people through the eyes of Christ? Take a look at this video and it may show you what I'm talking about. Did you get it? Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning so desiring to follow you, so desiring to go where you would go and meet with who you would meet with, realizing that we live in a world that is hurting and in need of the great physician. Lord, we pray that as we go about our life this week, that you would help us to see the world as you see it, to see the needs around us as you see them, and that we would learn to reach out, to go out of our comfort zones, to step out of our normal routine and make a difference in somebody else's life. Lord, give us the courage to do that, to see it, and to walk with you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.